Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's bite-size episode goes back to the conversation I had with Sam in September. Sam talks about increasing connection in sobriety. He also talks about cold water therapy because that's been a big part of his recovery, and a little bit about the future. I absolutely loved Sam's take on the glamorization of alcohol, but actually the truth behind it. Have a listen to this clip to find out more.
The opposite to addiction is connection, and that has been the game changer for me this time. All them stints of sobriety I had, I was trying to do it on my own, but this time around, the biggest difference for me is going to listen to someone else. I was ignorant and arrogant enough to think I could do it on my own. But this time round, I share my story because I know how powerful it is for other people. And when I've heard someone who's 27 years sober, to think I can do it on my own without listening to his wisdom or his advice is ignorant and arrogant. And listening to other people that have walked that road that's less traveled before me is the key that's kept me sober.
And that is the thing, isn't it? Because the road most travelled is alcohol. In the world we live in, you know, you can soon look and see people who've travelled that road, and you know, you can see the experience they have. But when it comes to sobriety, it's a whole new ball game. I mean, how do you navigate things? How do you deal with emotions? How do you deal with resentments?
Yeah.
How are you going to make sure that when something happens, that isn't your first thought?
Yeah,
I'll have a drink.
Yeah. The thing with me, the one thing I've learned in this stint of sobriety that has completely switched the game on its head is realizing that any emotion I'm in, right, is only temporary. If I feel anxious now, that's all right. I can sit with it because I ain't going to be anxious later on. Whereas before, when I felt anxious, oh my God, I'm anxious, and I panic and then end up having a panic attack. But now I can just say, oh, I'm anxious. All right, well, this will pass. When I'm sad, yeah, it's not very nice, but I can sit with it and it will pass. Every emotion, happy, it's going to pass, but you know it's going to come back again. But every single emotion we have, it's only temporary, and they come around and around. And you don't have to be dramatic about it, because I fucking was for a long time. I was saying, when I felt sad or I felt anxious or fearful, I thought it was the end of the world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I asked my guests on, as I asked you, to talk about three areas of your life that have changed. I mean, there's got to be so many for you.
Yeah.
But just sort of encapsulated it into three different topics.
Yeah.
What's your first one?
So connection, but I think we covered most of that, didn't we?
But it is really important, isn't it? Connection.
It is. It is, because like I said, I tried to go through things on my own so many times, and I think a lot of people do, especially if you're stubborn, and men more than anyone as well. We don't like to ask other people for help. It's an ego thing, and a lot of men don't feel comfortable talking about it. But I guarantee you, once you start, you won't be able to stop talking about it, because it has such an effect. It helps. You know what I mean? Like, I heard a saying once that my nose lives above my mouth, but don't tell me when my breath stinks. I need someone else to do that for me. Do you know what I mean? We need each other. Do you know what I mean? but we need each other. And the thing I've found about online and stuff, like, we're in the fellowship I'm in, we get a sponsor who helps guide you for stuff. And that's been an absolute game changer for me. And the sponsor's not someone that tells you what to do. They're just there to guide you, because I've got a head on my shoulder that gets a bit fuzzy, and I can give someone else great advice, but I'm not always good at listening to myself. So I just need a bit of guidance. And you already know the answer that your sponsor's going to give you. You just need that reassurance sometimes. And that's what it is for me. Having a sponsor, I put it in football terms because I love a bit of football and everything, but Cristiano Ronaldo is one of the best footballers in the world, but he's even better when he's got Alex Ferguson on the sidelines, just guiding him while he's in the madness. And that's a bit like having a sponsor for me, you know, having connection with other people and people that have been in the same journey and worn the same shoes, walked them same miles as you. You're just adding tools to your armor by that, you know?
Yeah, and it's like you said, actually, it's a level of arrogance, really, that we can have all the answers. I mean, I'm a firm believer in lifelong learning. I'm still studying. I'm always studying. I'm always reading. I don't think I have all the answers. And in the line of work that I'm in, when you're studying and you're reading, one of the first things they will say is, if any scientist, for example, says they've got the definitive answer about something, they're delusional.
Yeah.
Nobody ever has the definitive answer.
No.
But
I used to like to think I did. In this day and age as well, like for me personally, I'm an addict, and I always will be, but I've got my addiction under control. But there's no better time to be an addict because of all the stuff that's on offer for us now. Like this podcast that you've got, I've only just stumbled on it myself, but it's bloody brilliant. Do you know what I mean?
Thank you very much.
And there was that's how I what kicked me off getting back sober, what helped me out in the beginning before I found the fellowship and that again. I was getting sober, I kept relapsing, but I was listening. I found, I don't know if you know, Be Sober.
Yes.
Yeah, I found their podcast when I was sat on a forklift and I kept relapsing. I kept putting it in my ear and that stopped me drinking for a couple of days. All right, I kept relapsing after that, but it got the ball rolling again. Do you know what I mean? So there's podcasts, there's sober accounts, there's fellowships, there's so much on offer out there these days that there never used to be. And the stigma's getting broken a lot about it as well. You said it in one of your podcasts recently, but I agree. I really feel like there's a shift in the sober community, and I think we're all part of that. It's something to be proud of, you know.
I think that massively, and I think the more that we talk about things, the more that we, you know, if we can get just a bit more awareness around the fact that this is an addictive substance. So let's focus on alcohol, because that's, you know, that's my area of expertise, I suppose. That's what I was very much. I was a drinker.
Yeah.
But there's this idea that it's not, you know, a glass of wine is good for you. Or
I found it very interesting. I never watch the news these days because it just doesn't do my mental health any good. But I stumbled across it the other day when I was looking for something on the TV, and they were talking about smoking, banning smoking in pub gardens. And there's all these people with beer glasses and wine going, yeah, it's not good for you. So I'm thinking, I agree. Do you know what I mean? Like, people should still have their choice, I think. But I agree with what they're saying about smoking. But how can you be saying that about cigarettes when alcohol is in your hand and it does exactly the same thing? Like, it just baffles me. But people aren't ready to look at alcohol like that yet, I don't think, you know. But
they're not. Like, I mean, it does. There's all sorts of things, isn't there? If you read the Professor David Nutt book, he does go into some of the politics behind alcohol. There's a lot of funding. There's a lot of, but it wasn't that different really for the tobacco industry. It was a big shift.
When I was smoking, that was when they were putting in all the smoke and kills things on the packets in that. Yeah.
And it's only recently, isn't it, that they've now put it so that you can't then see it. So you
can't
don't
see them. They've been filtering it out for a while, haven't they? Which is a good thing. Like it's brilliant for the next generation, everything.
They're being so clear. This thing is really harmful.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't understand why alcohol doesn't get the same. It's not even mentioned that it's bad for you. It's, if anything, it's the opposite. It's glorified. Because you'll put an advert on, there's a bloke drinking out of a tux and it's all sophisticated and it makes it look like it's a wonderful time, but they don't show the reality. And I live opposite a taxi rank. I've lived the reality and now I see it every weekend.
You've watched it. Yeah,
they show James Bond drinking a nice sophisticated drink, but they're not showing James Smith pissing up against a lamppost calling his wife every name under the sun. Do you know what I mean?
They should put that on the advert.
Yeah. You're meant to say, aren't you? I'm not anti-alcohol, and in an extent, I'm not. Like I know some people have it as a passion of theirs, and I think it's good to have passions and everything. And these are a small majority of people that can just have one as a passion, enjoy it for the flavour and everything. But that is a very small majority. And if you look at your towns at weekends and everything, there's a lot of people that can't handle it. And there's a lot of
there's
people,
more people that can't, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, there is. And I just think it's such a shame that it's so drilled into our culture and everything as well, because what I've learned in my recovery is that this past 3 years, all I've done is make memories with my friends, my family, and my loved ones. And the past decade before that, all I did was lose them. And there's no getting them back. We're here for a short time, like, on this planet, that we're not here to be putting the poison in our body that makes us forget about the things that are most important to us. And not just that, the amount of times I've been blacked out and don't remember the evening, what a waste of life, you know? These past 3 years, I've been present and I can tell you everything I've done this past 3 years. I can't do that for the 10 years previous to that, you know?
Yeah. If you'd like to listen to the whole episode, then head back to the 17th of September 24, episode 26 with Sam. If you'd like to find out more about working with me, then head to my website, louisaevans.com. I don't just support with sobriety, I also help with many other areas, including anxiety, overthinking, and low mood. On the website, you'll find lots of resources, including my online Sober Resilience course. And if you use the code RESILIENCE544 as a Sober Rebel listener, you'll get a 30% discount. And also a range of hypnosis recordings. Use code SOBERREBEL, all one word, to buy one, get one free. Self-hypnosis is a very powerful and effective way to begin to reprogram how we automatically think about things. You'll find a range of different topics on my website. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests on the Sober Rebel podcast for sharing their story and for taking the time to talk to me. The Sober Rebel podcast will be back very soon. I'm just currently recording some fantastic episodes to share with you. I hope you have a good day.